Blog Talk Radio.
Shepherds, all of you bad shepherds.
lovers. True, I never knew you all along. Yes, it's true, I never knew you all along. Yes, it's true, I never knew you all along.
Woe to you, fat shepherds. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your brother, your servant in the Lord, the Wolf Tracker in studio, struggling still, but I've made a commitment to you. I've made a commitment to the Lord to be on the air. And what a great song by Jason Ballard, B-E-L-L-A-R-D. Jason's got other tunes on YouTube, and I would encourage you to Google this young man, Jason, J-A-S-O-N, Ballard, B-E-L-L-A-R-D, Ballard. And this is one of his songs, Woe to You, Fat Shepherds. And I play it every morning. This is how, when I start my devotionals every day, I play this song because we're supposed to be watchmen on the wall. We're supposed to be our brother's keeper. And we're supposed to cry out and spare not. How many of God's precious people are being taken to the proverbial cleaners by these shepherds who boast that they've got millions of dollars, that God has prospered them, that God has given them increase? Well, yeah, when you're sitting on top of the pyramid scam, when you're sitting on top of the pyramid scam, of course, yeah, of course, everything, just ask Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff and his family were living large. Off of who? Over the people that were into his Ponzi scheme. And the prosperity gospel, as preached by the likes of Benny Hinn, Paula White, Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, Rod Parsley, and a slew of others, it's all a Ponzi scheme. The prosperity gospel is a Ponzi scheme. And I started to do this series. Why is it now that every time you go to church, it's all about money? You listen to what's being said from the pulpit, whether it's a teaching, whether it's a preaching, whether it's an announcement, whether it's, now they do these infomercials at the church. Whatever it is, it's always about money. Money, 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 money. We need to buy book bags for kids. We need to get them school supplies. Well, it's come. They're asking you for money. These preachers now, they have these cruises. Paula White's had cruises. Other preachers have put together cruises. And they put together these cruises and the cruise line makes money, but then the preacher makes money. They put on plays now in church. The plays are something that churches are really getting into, plays like drama, like Broadway. And these are money makers. They're big time money makers. Now the church banquet or the church anniversary is no longer held at the church, where everybody brought a dish and celebrate. No, 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 no. Now the tickets are $250 for the church anniversary. So they're not just getting you by tithes and offerings. They're not fleecing you just that way. But they're also fleecing you every time there's a special offering to be taken up for a special cause, for a special need. And mind you, first they get the tithes and offerings from you. Then at the end of the service, they talk to you. They tell you about a special need that they were just made aware of and how we need to come to this person's rescue. Paula White collects a lot of money to feed teachers in public schools. Did Jesus ever tell us to collect money to feed public officials? Was that part of the gospel? No. Jesus fed people, and he fed them after hours and hours of them sitting at the feet of Jesus. You read the gospel. And Jesus says to his disciples, these people have been with us all day, and it's too late to send them off. Then everything is closed. Let's feed them. That's when Jesus fed people. But Jesus didn't have feeding programs. You read the gospel right. Jesus did not have feeding programs. And it's been a proven fact that when churches have a feeding program, think about this. A friend of mine just did a little bit of inquiry. And he heard about all these churches that now are starting to have food pantries. Food pantries. And who's the biggest person? Who's the one person that goes to the food pantry whenever he wants to get groceries? The pastor. My friend discovered that these food pantries are really, 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 really shopping centers. You know, when the pastor goes to the food pantry, he takes whatever he wants. There's turkeys in the freezer. He'll grab a turkey. If there's ham, if there's canned goods. So the pastor and the wife, they don't go shopping anymore. Now that the church has a food pantry, they go shopping there. So they each get salaries, but much money doesn't go into grocery shopping. The car is paid for by the church. The insurance paid for by the church. The parsonage paid for by the church. So these salaries are just, I mean, they're just complete salaries. The utilities paid by the church. The insurance is medical paid by the church. So, yes, woe to you, fat shepherds. Yes, woe to you. Woe to you. And, folks, I am not against blessing a pastor, of financially remunerating a pastor. I was a pastor for many, many, many years. And yes, I expected to get paid like anyone else because I had a wife and have a wife and kids. I need to support my family. And so I am not against not taking care of the pastor. But as I shared with you yesterday, I mean, I took on many pastors where there was zero money. There was nothing. There was just a group of hurting people who had been abandoned and had been abused by their former pastor. He cut out on them, and the Lord gave me a burden to go see if I could resurrect that church. And when I got there, they had been cleaned out. The bank accounts had been cleaned. Everything had been cleaned out. As I share with you, one example in one pastorate, before I got there, the people told me that the pastor sold the organ. He used the organ money to move his family back to Alabama. I know what it is to go without. I know. In the pastorate now. I know. I've taken on churches with tiny salaries, and I've had to work part-time jobs. When I went to Bible College and Seminary in the state of Florida, I had a bunch of part-time jobs, a bunch of them. That Linens and Things, I worked on Exxon gas station. I worked at Blockbuster Video. I had all kinds, and these companies, the Blockbuster, Linens and Things, Exxon, they don't give you a 40-hour week. These are piecemeal jobs. And with those little jobs, and with the little bit the church gave me, I pastored. I pastored like if I was getting a huge paycheck. And I have wonderful, wonderful relationships with former members. The miracles that God did, the financial miracles that God did. I remember one time pastoring in Florida, in Miami. I remember that I had this Ford Taurus. It was on its, the Ford Taurus was on its last leg. It was on its last, it was dying. And a friend of mine, a millionaire, who was always bothered with me because I would never call him, he said, "Hey, let's go out. Let's go out for lunch. Let's take the wife and the kids out for lunch." So we met him. He took us to the Don Shula restaurant where the steaks were like mattresses. Don Shula, the coach of the Miami Dolphins. I ate at his, I mean, that's an exclusive restaurant. I only went there because my friend, the millionaire, took my wife and my kids and myself and his family. He took us there. I remember when they rolled out the cart, there was a lobster. I mean, it was so huge. I had never seen a lobster. I didn't even know lobsters like that existed. And then they brought out the steak. It looked like a mattress. A mattress in your bed. I mean, it was huge, thick. So my wife and I ordered the steak. We split the steak and we took it home. We had to take it home. We didn't even make a dent in the steak. Didn't even make a dent. So he saw that my car was on its last leg, and he said, "Come with me." And he took me. He had like a 20-car garage, and he rolled up the doors, automatics. He rolled up the doors, and he said, "How do you like that car over there?" I said, "Oh, that." He says, "Go take it for a spin." So I took it for a spin. And he says, "How do you like it?" I says, "Oh, it's nice." He says, "It's yours." That's what God does. That's what God does when you live by faith. When you live by faith. And I never called this guy. Never bothered him. He says, "I don't understand it. You don't call me." I says, "I don't want you to think I'm after your money. I'm a very straightforward guy." He would invite us to his house for Christmas, and under the tree were 3 and 4 gifts for each one of my children. He saw what I was doing. He saw how what kind of pastor I was. He saw how I was laying it all out for God's people. And I could have stayed in Florida. I could have been big in Florida, but you know what? I didn't stay. Because there were other assignments around the country. Other churches that needed to be rescued. Other churches that needed to be resurrected. And that's I'm always a hard luck kind of pastor. I look for those hard luck church cases. And I go in there and roll up my sleeves and do what I have to do for the Lord. And then once the church is built up, I move on to take the next project. And I have no regrets because I did it for my Lord. And I am so happy today. I can rejoice because the day that I stand before my Lord at the judgment seat, I know that I will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I could have been rich. And I have my degrees, and I made so much money. I made so much money working as a social worker. I mean, I've had an exciting life. I've had tons of money, good paying jobs in the secular world. And then again, I would feel the tug of God, "Go, take care of this church, go." And I would leave those jobs. I remember I had one boss who told me, "Listen, you can just come to work for us for 2 days, and I'll pay you for the whole week." And I did that for 2 years. I worked for one boss who said to me, no, 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 no. Listen, listen. You work for me 2 days. You run this thing. You come in 2 days. And I'll pay you like you were here the whole. So I worked 2 days for him and 5 days for the Lord. I'm telling you, God is a God of financial miracles. I worked at another company. The boss says, no, I can't afford to lose you. I can't afford to lose you. Let's work out a schedule. And I would just say, here's my 1 month's notice. I got to go. I remember this one Jewish guy who loved me. When I was going to school, I needed loans for books. And I went to him. I said, he knew I was studying the Bible. He loved me. I said, listen, I need $2,000 for books. Not a problem. We'll deduct it from your pay. How much do you want taken out of your paycheck every week? I said, take out $50. This guy loved me. He says, no, I don't want you to go. No, 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 no. I said, but look, you helped me get through school. You helped me. What do you think I was going to school for, to wind up here? I got to go do God's work, a Jewish man who loved me for my integrity and my hard work. He said to me, you give me 3 days a week. And boy, my fellow co-workers was, you could see the smoke coming out of their ears. Who do you think you are? What kind of deal is that? Look at him, the boss's pet. Well, when you live for Jesus, when you live for Jesus, and I just love living for Jesus. I just love living for my Lord and Savior. I just love coming on the air and talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I just love saying to the fat shepherds, woe to you fat shepherds. And our brother Jason Ballard's song is based on Ezekiel 34. And a lot of times we kind of get discouraged because, like the prophet Elijah, we think that we're the last of the Mohicans. We think that we're the last ones. Myself, Sister Susan Puzio, and others. We're the last. We're the last. We're the last of a dying breed of people who love Jesus, who won't compromise. And I can tell you, I have paid many a price. And not just once. You know, a lot of people, when they pay a price one time and then they have to pay it again, they give in. I have been paying the price. I can tell you, the first church I got thrown out of, the first church, started as an associate pastor in 1983, and by 1985, because it took me 2 years, it took the pastor 2 years to let me see the financial report. And once I saw the financial report, I said, woe to you, fat shepherd, and I was gone. I remember two elders coming to my house, knocking on my door, and saying, we were sent here to take your ordination certificate. So here, you can have it. Take it. Take it. That guy blacklisted me. That guy made my life so impossible that for years I couldn't work in the church. That's why I had to go to the secular world. Unbeknown to them, I was making a ton of money. What they meant for evil, God turned it around for good. I've been paying a heavy price. And everywhere I go, if the need is to say, woe to you, fat shepherds, I've said it, and there it is again, the attack comes on me again. But I can't help him. Always says, but why are you always in trouble? He made me that way. I'm a junkyard dog. What a junkyard dog do? They bark, they bite. I can't help it. That's what I am. Can't help it. Well, on our first broadcast, we talked about Benny Hinn. In our second broadcast, we talked about Juanita Bynum. In our third broadcast, which was yesterday, we talked about Todd Koontz. And today we want to talk about Kenneth Copeland. And I need to drink some tea because my throat is acting up again. So I have audio for you today, as I have been having audio for you every single day. Let me play this clip for you. And this is entitled Kenneth Copeland Exposed.
Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh. Who's the biggest failure in the Bible? God is.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not.
Money!
Yep, that's Kenneth Copeland. Money cometh to me now. And he will even boast, that he is a billionaire. Now, you know, being a millionaire shepherd is you're fat already. But being a billionaire shepherd means you're super fat. Woe to you fat shepherds. Well, I think Kenneth Copeland will fall into that category. Now, of course, he is a false shepherd. He is a false teacher. He is a false prophet. That's what Kenneth Copeland is. But here's Kenneth Copeland boasting that he is a billionaire.
Now, I'll go ahead and tell you this now. Don't get disturbed. Because he said three billionaires. Now, I don't want you to get disturbed because since I'm one of them, it'll only leave two more. Now, wait a minute. Of course, I'm saying this with a smile on my face, but I'm serious as I can be. But now, I'm not one of those three since I already am one. The last, now don't tell them senators this, the last time we totaled it up, which has been some time ago, this ministry, since it's been in operation 41 years this month, the last accounting, this has been 2-3 years ago, so there would probably be at least 150 million more added to this. Well, our income last year was over $100 million. So There has been over $1.3 billion come into this ministry since it went into operation. So, amen. I'm not a billionaire because there's been over $1 billion come through this ministry. I am a billionaire because the assignment that the Lord gave me, he said, I want you to begin to confess the billion flow. Because as long as you were in the million flow, you were winning millions. You go into the billion flow, you win billions. So I said, yes, sir, I believe I receive it. That's been a number of years ago, and I have confessed that I am in the billion flow and that I am a billionaire in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, well, how can a person like myself who claims to be called of God and a person like Kenneth Copeland who claims to be called of God, why is it that one person lives completely by faith, yours truly, and why is it that a guy like Kenneth Copeland who lives by deceit, by twisting the scriptures, by fleecing the saints, yeah, he's got $1 billion coming in because he fleeces the saints. But any true pastor will tell you that it's very difficult for them. Any true pastor will tell you that it is very difficult for them to get behind the pulpit and even talk about money. When it comes to talking about money, I'm allergic to that kind of stuff. I'm allergic. I don't like talking about money. It's required of a pastor. But I don't like, that's one thing that is required that I don't like talking about. These guys talk about it because that is their complete focus. As the text in Peter says, they will wiggle their way into your lives to make merchandise of you, to clean you out, to sell you things you don't need, to promise you miracles that you can have for free. If your daughter is estranged from you, pray about it. Don't sow, but they'll tell you to sow. If you have a child on drugs, they'll tell you, you want your child to sow this turnaround miracle offering, and you'll see how the chains of drug addiction will quickly fall off your child. That's a lie. You want your child off drugs? Ask God to rescue them. Pray to God that he would set them free. Nothing that is related to the gospel, nothing can be had from God by giving money. Absolutely nothing. So yeah, this Kenneth Copeland is a great charlatan. Yeah, he boasts of the over the billion mark. Think about it. Last year he said we brought in $100 million. Last year we brought in $100 million. How many people is this guy conning? And by the way, folks, it's not just that they get you through tithes and offerings. That's not the only way they're getting you. Oh no, they're not getting you through church events. That's not the other way in which they're getting you. Oh no. You know what they're doing now, these so-called pastors? They're starting to open up other campuses. They're starting to open up other satellite churches. And those satellite churches generate funds also. It's like a franchise. It's like, you know, a guy owning 4 or 5 McDonald's. And he figures, you know, one McDonald's brings in so much. If I had a second one, if I had a third one. So now they're into campus churches. with multiple locations. One church, they this is how they put it, one church in multiple locations. But out of each one of those churches, these fat shepherds get another paycheck, which makes them even fatter. So it's not just that they have one mega church. No, now they have campus churches. Campus. Guy like Robert Morris has campus churches, and he plays the satellite. They record him live streaming, and then at the campus churches, they get to see him on a screen, a big screen. And that's what he does. That's how Robert Morris runs his campus churches. Now, here's some former workers. Here's some people who formerly worked for Kenneth Copeland. And this is what they have to say about his ministry. This is what they have to say about Kenneth Copeland's fraudulent ministry.
They send him their deepest needs by the tens of thousands of dollars, too. But how many of those prayer requests does televangelist Kenneth Copeland actually see? Some insiders say
0%.
Brett Shipp investigates. This is News 8 Now in high definition.
Good evening. This is your high definition update. I'm Gloria Campos.
I'm John McKay. One day after the announcement of a congressional investigation into their ministry finances, televangelist Kenneth and Gloria Copeland of Fort Worth may have a new set of problems. Revelations from former ministry insiders saying Copeland's faithful followers are being misled, and they say it's time for the truth to come out.
News 8's Brett Shipp has been investigating the Copeland TV ministry, and he joins us now with details. Brett?
Gloria, John, the lifeblood of the Copeland Ministry operations is tens of thousands of tax-free dollars that roll in on a mail truck every day. Most of that money is sent in along with personal prayer requests that are processed by workers inside the ministry. While the Copelands have no trouble spending the money inside the envelopes, how many of those prayer requests do they really see? Tonight, News 8 investigates.
Would you join me in welcoming Brother Kenneth Copeland?
It was News 8 that first reported on the private use of the Copeland Ministry's $20 million jet and trips made to a ski resort and exotic game hunting ranch. But the real turbulence for the Copeland's ministry may come from within the security gates of his Eagle Mountain Church and ministry headquarters north of Fort Worth. From former employees who tell News 8,
shout amen, somebody!
The Kenneth and Gloria Copeland you see on TV,
glory to God,
are not the Kenneth and Gloria of real life.
We were treated like galley slaves.
In my eyes, there's deception.
There's a fear mentality placed on people that work there.
Just three former Copeland Ministry employees speaking out about the disappointment of discovering what really goes on inside.
I started going to church there in 1994.
Among them, Jeff Spradlin, who says he grew up admiring the Copelands and was excited to get a job working for them.
Within 90 days, I started realizing this was a huge mistake.
For nearly 2 years, Spradlin worked in the mail processing center where prayer request envelopes, stuffed with cash, would arrive every morning. He says a group of ministers, not the Copelands, would pray over the unopened envelopes. But Spradlin says he and other mail processors were the only ones who actually read the requests.
And I was sitting there getting this paperwork all the day and going, Kenneth and Gloria don't see a word of this.
How many of these prayer requests, to your knowledge, do Kenneth and Gloria Copeland see and or pray over?
None that I know of.
This former employee also processed prayer requests and sent return letters crafted to give the look of a personal response. In fact, the ministry recently bought a new high-tech printer, which, according to the manufacturer, gives Copeland a finished document that looks 100% personalized.
Amen!
They think, when they get that letter back, that someone has actually prayed.
Is that misleading?
I don't understand that that was actually just processed into a computer.
Do you think that that is
very
misleading?
I worked there for 6 months.
Nathan Boutwell says he, not Copeland, read the prison ministry prayer requests.
There was no actual human contact with that letter besides my eyes. But that's okay. He gets 10,000 letters a week. But admit that. Don't imply that you read these personally when you don't.
Hallelujah.
The former employees we spoke to also say their spirits sank after learning Kenneth and Gloria have little, if any, contact with their faithful followers.
That's the one time I saw the man was at the Christmas party.
I was in an elevator with Gloria once.
And they had little, if any, contact with their 500 employees.
And it was an unwritten law that if Kenneth or Gloria walked through the office, you don't see them, you don't speak to them.
Former employees we talked to say when the Copelands are not on the road, they spend their days inside of their 18,000-square-foot parsonage on the shores of Eagle Mountain Lake, surrounded by hundreds of acres of range and ranch land, not far from their tennis courts and boathouse. The only access we could get to Copeland was to slip past his backstage security at a recent prayer rally at a public park in Granbury.
This is Copeland. Brett Shipp with Channel 8 News. Can we talk to you?
Sure.
Great.
But his tenor changed once we asked the question, does he personally read and pray over his partner's prayer requests?
Do you personally pray over your prayer requests that you get? Do you personally pray over those? Do you ever see them? You do? When do you see them? When do you see your prayer requests?
Well, that is between me and my partners.
Copeland later told us his ministry is so large that he has to have a prayer team help him read the requests.
Do you ever see those prayer requests? Do you ever see them? Do you ever touch them? Do you ever read them?
Yes, I do.
Again, according to Spradlin,
how much of this mail and correspondence they see and or pray over?
0%.
Zero.
Zero.
And then on your weekends, you're out preaching all over the world, you need a jet.
Copeland says he has little contact with his staff because he and Gloria are private people who are on the road preaching much of the time. And as for our questions of him,
you don't want to talk about the productive side of the ministry. You just want to run me down. You want to tear down everything you can. And I don't understand that.
But Spradlin says what he and the others want Copeland to understand is that it's not about tearing a ministry down, but for the first time, exposing the truth.
This is about coming to terms with it, understanding what I went through, and that this isn't God.
We are already hearing from devoted Copeland followers upset that we're making no mention of the ministry's positive spiritual message that the Copelands spread around the world. No one is criticizing that message, just raising questions about whether Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are practicing what they preach. And Gloria and John, the folks we're talking to at least, say this is sending a mixed message.
No, it's not sending a mixed message. It's a clear message. Kenneth Copeland and his wife are wolves in sheep's clothing. That's all. It's not a mixed message. It's a clear message. The Bible says here, since they mentioned Copeland's ministry and church, look what it says about a pastor. It says, Titus chapter 1, verse 5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, Titus, that you might straighten out the things that were left unfinished, to appoint elders / pastors in every town, as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open, children believe and are open to charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, like we saw in that video, not given to drunkenness, not violence, not pursuing dishonest gain." Another translation reads, "not pursuing filthy lucre." Another translation reads, "not pursuing sordid gain." Not pursuing sordid gain. But here's more. This one is entitled, Kenneth Copeland's True Spirit Comes Out at Reporter. Now, here's a reporter. She's going to put a mic before Mr. Copeland, and he's going to go ballistic.
No denying some people have prospered handsomely. The pastors themselves, they live like rock stars with huge mansions, private jets, and fancy cars.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to opulence, few religious leaders compare to Kenneth Copeland.
Amen.
To show you his house, we rented his helicopter so you can see his 18,000 square foot mansion valued at over $6 million.
He lives in this home outside Fort Worth, Texas. It has beautiful water views and comes complete with a boathouse. But that's not all. Copeland is an avid pilot, and here's his pride and joy, a $20 million Cessna Citation jet. It's the fastest private jet money can buy. He said he needed it to better serve the Lord, and proudly did a flyby for his followers after the church bought it. But it's not just one plane. We found a fleet of planes registered to the church. And you won't catch him waiting in line at the airport because he's got his own, the Kenneth Copeland Airport, located right next to his mansion.
I think Copeland is unbelievably greedy. Amen.
She sent them a lot of money, a whole lot of money.
When Christy Parker's mother died of cancer, she found diaries that showed her mother sent Copeland most of her life savings, hoping her faith and donations would cure her of her terminal disease.
What do you think of Kenneth Copeland's lifestyle?
TV doesn't do it justice. Their office furniture is probably worth more than most people's houses. It makes you sick.
Oh, amen.
My lifestyle follows the scripture. We give, we believe. We're open.
You have a fleet of private jets. Why is that necessary? You're a minister. How many private jets do you have?
We're open. We're open.
Right after that, he walked away.
Although Copeland says he cooperated with the Senate investigation, the Senate committee disagreed, saying only two television preachers did, Joyce Myers and Benny Hinn. And the committee recommended that the IRS investigate further.
Amen.
Now he told that reporter, it's none of your business. Well, it is our business because he's living, you know, when Kenneth Copeland collects this money, it's tax-free money. Now, are you tax-free? Am I tax-free? Is the regular citizen tax-free? No, we're paying taxes through the nose. You own a home, you have to pay property tax. Church doesn't pay property tax. Kenneth Copeland lives in that mansion, has their airstrip. They don't pay taxes for any of that, any of it. Kenneth Copeland goes, buys the plane for $20 million and is tax-free. No, he doesn't pay tax. You go to the auto parts store. You buy brakes. You buy an air filter. You go buy some hoses for your car, for your radiator. And you'll see that at the end there's a tax. They add a tax. No, he gives a certificate of being a nonprofit, and they don't pay taxes. Yes, he is greedy. Yes, he is disrespectful. To put his finger in that reporter's face and say after he said we're open, he said, oh, we're open. Well, after saying we're open. And she asked him about, do you think you need to have a fleet of planes? He stuck his finger in the face and said, that is none of your business. Wow. He's going to win that. He's going to win that reporter to the Lord. But here's more.
You are not created for poverty.
From private planes to a luxurious mansion, is this preacher living a lavish lifestyle with tax-free donated dollars, money for the ministry, or money for personal use?
A special investigation tonight on the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric.
A CBS News investigation tonight looks into donations made to two popular North Texas ministries.
A U.S. senator wants to know if millions of dollars should be taxed by the government. And CBS 11's Maria Rita has a preview of tonight's CBS investigation.
A pair of North Texas-based ministries who have collected hundreds of millions of dollars from followers are under investigation. A U.S. senator wants the financial records of Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn Ministries. CBS News spent the last 2 months investigating the case, and CBS reporter Armin Katayan joins us now from New York with a look at what he's learned. And Armin, we understand that under investigation here are six ministers, at least, by Senator Charles Grassley, including Kenneth Copeland owning a $20 million jet. Why has Grassley launched this probe?
Well, I think, Maria, you hit on it. There's hundreds of millions of dollars that come into these ministries, these top six televangelists around the world every year. And Senator Grassley is concerned. His investigation has been going on for some 2 years now as to how much, if any, of that money is taxable income, meaning that some of it may be diverted into an array of for-profit companies that many of these ministers have or that these ministries have.
Is he alleging criminal activity here in any of this?
Well, you're certainly talking about IRS violations, and that's criminal intent. Fraud, misappropriation of funds. As I said, there are. We take a good, hard, long look at Kenneth Copeland, and he is the so-called godfather of the prosperity gospel. And the question is tonight in our investigation, you know, how much of that prosperity is ending up in the into the hands of Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland, his wife, and his extended family.
Well, speaking of that digging, Grassley apparently requested financial records from these ministries. Have the ministers complied with that?
Well, some have, in full disclosure. Others, like Kenneth Copeland, have not at all. I mean, Kenneth Copeland is quoted tonight as saying they sent Senator Grassley a big fat package of no. He is going to fight, as we understand, right to the end, bitter tooth and nail, as far as subpoenas are concerned. He believes, Kenneth Copeland believes, that it's not Senator Grassley's privilege to have any sort of inside church financial information. We'll see where that goes.
Okay, well, this hits us right at home. Thank you very much, Armin. And that was Armin Katayan with CBS. His report is coming up on the CBS Evening News tonight with Katie Couric.
I'm Katie Couric. Also tonight, the Bible advises don't store up treasures on earth.
Shout amen!
Look at that. Katie Couric knows the Bible. The Bible, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's what Jesus said. Katie Couric is quoting the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, which obviously Kenneth Copeland refuses to heed anything to what Jesus said.
But look at this. Just some of a TV preacher's treasures paid for with tax-exempt donations.
This is the CBS Evening News with Katie Couric.
Every year, televangelists attract more than believers. They draw hundreds of millions of dollars from all around the world. All of it is tax-exempt, but should it be? Senator Charles Grassley is investigating six top TV preachers. And tonight, our chief investigative correspondent, Armin Katayan, has a hard look at one of them, Kenneth Copeland, the so-called godfather of prosperity gospel.
To live in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah.
In one TV sermon after another,
somebody shout amen!
With Kenneth Copeland and wife Gloria implore viewers to sow the seeds of their faith by following God's word and donating dollars, promising a hundredfold return in happiness and wealth.
It's a bottom line business.
This former ministry employee who feared being identified answered hundreds of prayer requests a day, most sent in with donations, before quitting, feeling betrayed by Copeland's gospel of prosperity.
I receive it!
He is the recipient of the prosperity message.
So when he's preaching health and wealth,
he's filling that bottom line on his business.
That's why Senate investigators are digging into whether ministry resources are being diverted into an array of for-profit companies tied to the Copelands. Cattle, horses, aviation, real estate development, and gas and oil wells, to name but a few. Michael Hoover, who worked for the Kenneth Copeland Ministries for 5 years, quit in 2005 over disagreements with the church. He is one of three former employees who told CBS News they witnessed other employees doing work on behalf of for-profit businesses tied to the Copeland family.
I believe that they were using a lot of the ministry's assets for personal businesses.
the nonprofit activity and the for-profit activity are so intertwined that you can't separate them.
A two-month CBS News investigation, including interviews with nearly a dozen former Copeland employees, raises serious questions about the Copelands' religious empire. Beginning with this lavish lakefront home, all 18,000 square feet of it, and a fleet of private planes, all paid for by the ministry.
The Lord spoke to me and said, you believe for a citation 10? Right now.
Copeland got what he wanted. That's the $20 million jet right there parked at the ministry-owned airport, one of four planes owned by the church.
It will never, ever be used for anything other than what is becoming to you, Lord Jesus.
But that's not what happened. CBS News has learned he used this ministry jet and another to fly to and from Colorado three times in 2007, the site of frequent Copeland family vacations. The ministry claims that in rare instances that jets or employees are used for personal business, the church is reimbursed.
You are not created for poverty.
Churches are not required to file tax forms or make their finances public. The ministry, which says it does everything by the book, has refused to answer key questions about its finances raised by Senate investigators.
We answered them. We gave them a several-page lesson on no.
Kenneth Copeland refused repeated interview requests by CBS News. When we went to ministry headquarters near Fort Worth, Texas, we were turned away.
There's no way I could see him right now. Are you sure?
If Senator Charles Grassley doesn't get the answers he wants, he may well resort to some words of his own in the form of a Senate subpoena. Armin Katayan, CBS News, Newark, Texas.
Now, of course, Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar and Benny Hinn and Joyce Myers and Paula and Randy White, they got away with it. Senator Grassley did not pursue. He didn't pursue it. But they're not going to get away with it when it comes to Jesus. Because according to Ezekiel 34, the Lord says, woe! And the word woe is the word in Hebrew that says you've been put on notice. Woe to you, Fetchup, you've been put on notice. You're on notice. You're on notice. You're on the Lord. You know how in the days in the Old West you used to commit a crime and they would put out a bounty on you, wanted, you know, $5,000. Or in the days of J. Edgar Hoover, you would be public enemy number one. Well, all of these preachers that I've been talking about, Juanita Bynum, Todd Koontz, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, the Whites, Paula and Randy, Rod Parsley, and the like. All these people, all of them, to them the Lord Jesus says, woe to you, fat shepherds, woe. And he's put them on notice. And whether there they are punished on this side of eternity or on the other side of eternity, I can tell you, that they're laughing now. They're laughing all the way to the bank now. But they're not going to be laughing. They're not going to be laughing when they enter, when they step into eternity. I can assure you right now that Paul and Jan Crouch, Paul Sr. and Jan Crouch, the former founders of TVN, with all of the millions of dollars, I can assure you right now, they are not laughing on the other side of eternity. I can assure you of that. Because there is a place in hell reserved for the likes of these prosperity gospel preachers. Saints, I will be back tomorrow again to do another person. Tomorrow, you know, we've been doing one person per day. And I will be back tomorrow. Please remember to pray for me, to pray for my health. Pray that the Lord will strengthen my body. Pray for the books that are coming out in 2017. Pray for the series that we're going to be doing next year on the Roman Catholic invasion of the African American church. Pray. I covet your prayers. I need your prayers. Pray for me as I pray for you each and every day. God bless you.
Too many men write books about things they don't know. And in the name of Jesus Christ, they sell it so. When no one's searching for the truth, no one to show themselves approved, they'd rather gain the world and forfeit their own soul. They guarantee a life of wealth and luxury, and claim that this is a living life abundantly. So many lonely hearts then sow their seeds to idols made of pride and greed, and perish every second without hope. Woe to you, fat shepherds, all of you fat shepherds, who feed yourself and leave my sheep to starve alone. Woe to you, fat shepherds, all of you fat shepherds. They haven't a clue yet what this cup holds. God's holy burning anger is hatred for their deeds. They pride themselves as men of high esteem. They've never heard a word but vanity. I never